Item six, review of total portfolio performance. Marty?
Great.
Dorian. It's an unusual name. I stick it back here in this part of my head, so.
Hey, you.
What else is back in that part of the head?
I don't know.
I don't know.
It's pretty dark.
And I plan to do a usual run through of performance.
Okay.
Given how long the day's gone, should I still plan to do that?
Sure.
Okay, great. So I'll let Dorian discuss the markets and performance in the December quarter and the asset allocation, and then I will wrap up with the manager discussion. So I'll let Dorian start.
Great. There's some talk about the fourth quarter. Boy, does that seem like so last year. On page one of your performance report, I'm just going to highlight a few things. within U.S. equities, the S&P 500 during the fourth quarter last year had a total return of 10.5%. That's a really big quarter, historically speaking. In small caps, the Russell 2000, which measures the U.S. small cap market, was up 8.7%, so not quite as high, but still quite strong. A couple things driving the U.S. equity markets, according to the pundits. Corporate earnings have continued to be strong. The global economy continues to improve. And there were two things that were uncertain sort of heading into the fourth quarter. Market doesn't like uncertainty, so sometimes when the uncertainty is removed, market goes up. One of those things was the timing of the tapering, and the Fed actually sort of announced in late December that it actually would commence the tapering, and it has. The other thing was there was this discussion about another government shutdown in January, and that was taken off the table as well. So a couple pieces of uncertainty were removed. Heading into non-U.S. markets, the international developed markets as measured by the MSCI EAFE index had a total return in the fourth quarter of 5.7%. And looking at emerging markets as measured by the MSCI Emerging Markets Index, the total return in the fourth quarter was 1.8%. Rolling all that together, global equities came in at 7.3% in the fourth quarter as measured by the MSCI All Country World Index, also known as ACWI. Moving into fixed income, the U.S. Barclays Aggregate Fixed Income Index had a return that was slightly negative in the fourth quarter. It came in at minus 0.1%, whereas the high yield indices there's a few of them out there, but the one that we're using for you came in at 3.5%. Within the Contra Costa entire plan for the fourth quarter, the total return was 4.9%. That exactly matched your benchmark, your policy benchmark, which was also 4.9%. And in our defined benefit universe, the rank was 54%, which was just below median. That leaves the Contra Costa assets at $6.5 million, according to market value.
Billion.
Pardon?
Billion.
Billion. Thank you for that correction.
It's a tougher quarter than I thought. It'd be a different conversation if it was million.
$6.5 billion with a B in assets at the end of December. A couple other things that struck me about the quarter is CPI was down by 0.5% in the fourth quarter, 0.5%. And coming from the investment world, I usually loathe at trying to annualize data, but in the economics area, we do with GDP all the time. That means in the fourth quarter, we saw 2% deflation. Sort of interesting, we didn't hear too much about that. Yeah. Maybe it's just an air pocket, but it also creates an interesting situation a year from now where you might have lower comps and you might see inflation looking a little higher than it might normally be due to it being sort of down at the end of December. So just keep that in mind. If you see inflation sort of kicking up in the fourth quarter next year, it may just be because there's that air pocket that we are observing right now. Incidentally, the Standard & Poor's Goldman Sachs Commodity Index in the fourth quarter was also down by about 0.5%, specifically minus 0.3%. So I know a lot of people tie inflation and commodities together. In that particular quarter, they were very much aligned to slightly negative. Since the fourth quarter is the last quarter of the year, it's a chance to take a look at 2013 as a whole. So just real quickly, give you some highlights of the year 2013. The S&P 500 returned 32.4% in 2013, which was the best year since 1997. So a lot of people who were heavily invested in U.S. equities did very well. Meanwhile, the Russell 2000, which measures small cap equity, was up 38.8%, outperforming the S&P by over 600 basis points. In the international space, it was very strong in developed markets, with the MSCI EAFE index being up 23.3%, but emerging markets lagged the rest of the developed markets. In fact, they posted a negative 2.3% return. And when you dig into the emerging markets, you see some interesting things with Brazil, with India, with Indonesia, with China, many of these emerging markets having unique problems and generating effectively flat returns during the year. Many people today think that because you've had such a disparate set of returns, the valuations are more compelling in emerging markets. I could argue the other side of that, but for people who do actively rebalance their portfolios, it probably makes some sense to take developed market equity and rebalance into emerging markets just to get back to your total returns. I'll hit a little bit more on that in asset allocation, although for you guys, it's not going to have any impact. Within fixed income, 2013 showed the Barclays Aggregate Fixed Income Index having a negative 2% return. Once again, long bonds, intermediate bonds, you're hoping that they produce something positive. But with all the tapergate happening and with interest rates backing up after May and June, negative return for the Barclays Ag. High yield, however, did produce an attractive return of 7.4% during the year. And the overall CSERA plan had a total 2013 calendar year performance of 16.5%. So I guess that's probably going to be rolled forward with your smoothing algorithm. That outperformed your policy benchmark, which was 15.6%, so the outperformance was 90 basis points. And that put you in the 43rd percentile, that's a little bit above median, in the defined benefit universe. A couple other things, just bringing you up to date now that this is almost the end of February. The S&P, despite having a hard month of January, being down about 3%, has mostly recovered. And as of 10 a.m. this morning, it went positive for the year. But with the flat performance today, it's down about 20 basis points for the year, but pretty close to flat. The Russell 2000 small cap index up about 1%. Europe internationally is doing well year to date, up about 3%. While Japan, which had a strong year last year, is down about 7.5%. Barclays Aggregate, once again, being down 2% last year, is actually up 1.8% year to date. So it's pretty much has made up for a poor year last year. And high yield so far is up about 2.4%. Putting this all together and doing a really rough rule of thumb, I would estimate that your plan is up about 1%. Year to date through the end of today. Moving on to asset allocation, which is pages 10 through 13 of your report. With the strong performance in equities, your overall equity is now 2.9% above target, and that's split pretty evenly between domestic equity, which is above its target by about 1.4%, and international and global is above by about 1.5. Meanwhile, domestic fixed income is below its target by about 1.6, partly reflecting that negative performance of the Barclays Ag, and everything else is within 100 basis points. We would sort of suggest with fund flows, you'd be able to tidy that up in no particular haste.
And not to jump in on Dorian, but we did rebalance it as of January 31st. That was the report that we had at the last meeting. So these are all back at target now.
Okay, even better. And with that, I'll turn it over to Marty.
Great, thanks. Let me start with the watch list, which is on page 3 of the performance report. The first manager listed there is Adelante. They manage a real estate investment trust portfolio, so publicly traded real estate investments. They had a good December quarter. They beat their benchmark by 0.9%. Their one-year performance is now a gain of 3.6%, and that's better than their benchmark for the year of 1.9%. And so their results are generally in line with their benchmark at this point. They have an approach of looking at private real estate transactions and comparing those to the public REIT valuations and making bets based on that. And that works, but there are periods where it goes against the market prices, and that they had a rough patch because of that. So the performance has improved a lot since they were put on watch, but in terms of comparing them to the median manager in their universe, they're either at or slightly behind them for 3 and 5 year periods. So I would suggest keeping on the watch list right now, but they're almost out of the woods. The next on the list is Intech. Intech did better than their benchmark, and they're doing fine. The reason that they're on the watch list is there's a personnel change at the firm. The president of the firm, who's based in Florida, left the firm. We haven't seen an impact on performance due to the personnel changes, and it's been more than a year since the personnel changes happened. So I would suggest you consider taking them off the watch list, since that seems to have passed just fine.
Okay.
Should we move on to Lord Abbott?
Sure.
Okay. Lord Abbott was put on the list in October of last year because of personnel departures in the client service team, and then after that, they also lost two members of their research team. And while this isn't an unusually high level of turnover, it's still a concern, and it hasn't been that long since those personnel losses occurred. So performance of the quarter was good. It was positive 0.7% compared to a loss of 0.1% for their benchmark. So performance is fine, but I would suggest, for personal reasons, leaving on the list for right now.
Okay.
And PIMCO, you just added to the list. We'll be making a trip there on March 10th to visit with them. You probably all read the headlines and know more about that than you really want to know.
Is there a motion to remove Intech from the list?
I can support them. I'll make the motion.
I'll second that.
Any further discussion? All those in favor?
Yeah, we have 10.
We have 5.
Yeah.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
I'm gonna take these votes quickly.
We can cover some ground here.
And then we're coming up to Invesco and Long Wharf, the real estate managers. And so we've got Invesco 1 and 2 and Long Wharf 2 and 3. And their performance is essentially meeting reset expectations. These were impacted by the financial crisis. So, and their follow-on funds that you're invested for both of those managers, you invest in follow-on funds, and their performance is fine. The Invesco 1 is only $9 million in size right now. And the Long Wharf 2 is only $4 million in size right now. But really, for all four of those, in discussions with Tim, it seems like they'd be candidates for being removed from the list as well, since they're really meeting their reset expectations and the follow-on funds are doing well.
Do you want separate motions or combined motion?
With regards to maybe one motion for all of the Invesco funds?
I'm so moved to remove them from.
I'll second it.
You're so moved.
So okay. Moved to remove.
So moved to move. To remove.
All those in favor say
it's
aye.
Good to remember.
Opposed? Abstention? Motion carries.
Sorry.
And then
Long Wharf.
Gabe, would you like to do this? No, yeah. I'll second your motion if you want
to. I'll make the motion then.
I'll make the motion.
Okay.
Gabe,
it. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstention? Motion carries. Okay.
And then the last is Nogales, which I don't think you want to take off the list.
No.
Okay.
Well, we'd like to, but sometimes during our life.
You wish you'd never been on there, yeah. Okay. So then I'd like to move to page 14 to talk about managers and talk about returns.
But was PIMCO not on the list because it was the end of third quarter and we put them on the fourth quarter?
Put them on during the first quarter.
Right, I'm sorry. Yep. First quarter is where I'm at. Yeah.
So next quarterly report you see, they'll be on there.
Okay.
So page 14 is the beginning of the manager performance numbers, tables. And it was a very good quarter. The total fund, as Dory mentioned, was up 4.9%, equaling the benchmark portfolio's performance and just under the 5% return of the median public fund. So 2013 was a really good year. On a quarterly basis, you'll bounce around a lot. For the quarter, you're in the 54th percentile. But as you move out to longer periods, you move to top quartile very quickly, eighth percentile for 3 and 4 years, and over 10 years, third percentile. So, you know, terrific results. Looking at domestic equities, your domestic equities were up 10.1% in Q4, and that was in line with the Russell 3000's performance, better than the median domestic equity manager, which was up 9.7%, and that ranked in the 38th percentile. Ceradex did well, 9.8% versus their benchmark of 9.3%. And for the year, Ceradex is up 6.5%.
Can I stop you?
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry.
Brian, can I just ask, I mean, we have these reports in front of us. Do we need to methodically go through each individual results? I actually have to leave in about 10 minutes. Okay. So then do we have a quorum after I leave?
No.
You have five, yeah.
After she leaves?
You have five. Okay, five. You just need
you still have five. Yeah. Okay.
Maybe we could ask Marty to just deal with the key ones.
Yeah, companies that are managers that you have concerns with.
What do we need to be concerned about?
The key items. Delaware recently announced that they're going to spin out from, the group in Delaware that manages the portfolio is going to spin out into an entity called Jackson Square Partners. It's actually a good thing because they will get more equity, so there's more lock-in of the employees, so they did well in the quarter.
They've changed letterhead more than I think any manager.
And have the lowest personnel turnover, ironically.
Yeah.
And they'll be coming out to present.
Yeah, we'll talk about that more in staff comments. Okay.
So I'll just jump through the ones that stand out in a certain way. Emerald underperformed 6.1% versus a benchmark of 8.2.
Which one?
Emerald.
And they only got a lousy 50% last year. What's with that?
Yeah. And they trounced their benchmark by 5% in the prior quarter. Yeah, so I mean, they're just doing great. But in the quarter, you could look at it and say they didn't do so well.
What have you done for me lately?
Pierre Perford is about to be funded. We still have money in the transition account, the international equity transition account. This is under international equity at the top of page 15. So as soon as the legal paperwork is finalized, Perford will be funded. Looking at global equities, Artisan underperformed in the quarter. They had a return of 6.1 versus a 7.3% return their benchmark. But over the last year, they've done very well, 26.1 versus 22.8. In the prior quarter, they were up roughly 3% versus their benchmark. So underperformed the quarter, but did well. First Eagle is a very defensive manager, and in a year like last year or a quarter like last quarter, you'd expect them to underperform. They've got 18% in cash and 4% in gold, which they'll redeploy when the market does correct and go down.
Does that same hold true for 1 year or 2 years? Because they're down on all that.
Yeah, you'd expect they're a defensive manager. Yeah. So when the market's on
I'm
offense.
I'm beginning to see why.
The rankings are either going to be top of the market or bottom of the market. So, I mean, they're really meant to be, if we get a market correction, this is a part of the portfolio that buffers that.
Okay. And I'm a skeptic like you, but when I looked over a cycle, they actually added quite a bit of value.
Okay.
But comparing to the benchmark maybe isn't the perfect benchmark, but it's it is what they do. Intech underperformed 4.5% compared to the benchmark of 7.3. But over the past year, they have a 24.2% return. They're outperforming their benchmark despite being a defensive manager. So they've done very, very well. Domestic fixed income has done really well. I'm just going to jump down here and see if there are any things that really stand out. In the inflation hedge section, you'll find the common fund is now appearing. They've been funded, and so their results are showing up.
Can I recommend, what's your total commitment going to be to common fund?
I think it's 50 million.
Yeah.
Right?
Okay. Thank you.
15.
And
Aether will be there next quarter.
Yeah. Oh, we have a new appraisal for the building, for the Willows property. Just came in yesterday. It's $10 million. It's in the report at $8 million.
That's all.
It's 25%.
Yeah. It's still a little bit below peak value.
Yeah. I know. Those are the things that stuck out to me as things that I thought were really important to talk about.
Thank you.
But I'd be glad to take questions on anything else that wasn't brought up.
Accept the report.
Second.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstention? Motion carries. Thank you. Okay. Thank you, gentlemen.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Yeah, thanks for your patience.
Patience.
Sticking around.